Could the delistings bust on the JSE be a sign of bad things to come for local investors? Think about it. The number of listings on the JSE is down by more than half since the 1990s. And the bigger companies on the JSE are often dual listed on overseas exchanges to access cheaper finance in places like London and New York. That in turn reduces the free float or the available universe of investable stock on the JSE. For smaller or medium-sized companies, the costs of listing are often cited as reasons for leaving the exchange. To explore this further, we're joined by Adrian Pask, Chief Investment Officer at PSG Wealth. Hi, Adrian. Good to talk to you again. Help us understand this trend of delistings from the JSE and put some figures to it if you can for us.
Hi, Kieran, and also hello to everybody listening to the podcast. Yeah, I think in terms of the JSE, you've sort of alluded to it in the introduction, but if you go back to the 1990s, we had roughly 850-odd companies listed, so plenty of choice there for investors who wanted to invest on the JSE. And over time, we have seen this number decline quite sharply. So that moved to, say, roughly 400 around 2012. So it essentially halved. And where we are now is it's under 300 at the moment. So things are definitely going in the wrong direction in terms of investor choice.
Why is this happening on the JSE to the extent that it has?
Well, I think there's actually various components that feature into this. If you look at some of the complaints from the businesses that have decided to delist, it normally revolves around significant costs associated with things like compliance and reporting and the legal and administrative requirements. But I think being a listed entity and with all the obligations that come with that, there's a lot of short-term pressure on board members in particular and on the businesses more broadly to keep on performing quite well. And as we know, equities is generally actually a long-term investment. So that short-term pressure has also sort of disincentivized businesses. And I've mentioned that the regulatory component, obviously, you know, places like the FSCA and other regulatory bodies go through a lot of effort to ensure that investors can invest in a safe way. But obviously, you do run into a risk of over-regulating and making it unattractive to businesses just because the reporting requirements are so significant. So obviously, investors will start to weigh up the benefits, and so too will the businesses that are looking for funding on the JSE. And they'll have to weigh up the benefits versus the drawbacks. And it seems like the balance is out of kilter at the moment. And obviously, the other thing that is more broadly cited is that market conditions haven't been favorable. So the JSE has been struggling, and it's not the most obvious place to come and look for funding if you're a small business, given all the constraints and the macro backdrop that we have seen. I think it's also worth mentioning, though, that we have seen some popular South African companies being acquired by foreign investors. So if we think back to Heineken and Estelle, Pepsi and Pioneer, for example, in those specific cases, it's foreign investors seeing value in those businesses, and they are in a position to essentially buy them out at very attractive valuations. So I think there's a combination of things from very practical things, like the examples I've just mentioned, and things more broadly around the onus on these businesses to ensure that they meet all the requirements from regulators and the required laws.
How are investors interpreting these events? And is there a chance that this trend will reverse at some point?
Yeah, I think the main narrative out there from investors is that there's a declining opportunity set. And as investors tend to do is they extrapolate the recent past into the future. So if this decline is set to continue into the future, eventually the view is that eventually we run out of investment options and it becomes impractical to build portfolios on the JSE. And therefore, investors are looking abroad to find other investment options. What I think is potentially a mistake is that the interpretation is often that the delisting is linked to the economic struggles that we've been facing. And although it is a component within the reasoning, I don't think it's as simple as that. There's definitely some valuable context provided by the global trends we've seen in terms of listings and delistings.
Yeah, delistings does seem to be an international trend, and we hear similar stories coming out of London and elsewhere. But are things worse on the JSC? And if so, why is that?
Well, I think what we have seen from a global perspective is that things are quite bad in terms of the number of delistings. Many exchanges are struggling with the same issue. So if you look at places like Luxembourg and Frankfurt and the LSE, even in the US, there's a big delistings trend happening. So I think what investors tend to do locally is they think it's a very South African specific thing, given the challenges that we've seen. But we are actually essentially just echoing some of the similar changes that we've seen across the globe. And if you look at the reasoning and why this is happening, like I said, often what is cited is the heavy burden from a compliance perspective. And it just makes it unattractive for companies to look for funding on the different exchanges. South Africa's case hasn't been bad. So I mentioned before that it has been quite severe in terms of the delistings, going from 850 on to just under 300. But if you look at some of the other exchanges, we've seen some similar numbers that might surprise investors. If you look at the London Stock Exchange, for example, they've not only seen a number of delistings, they've actually seen the aggregate value of the market decline. So in that specific case, the aggregate market capitalization of the LSE went to $3 trillion US dollars in February of this year. But you know, it used to be significantly above that level. In South Africa's case, we've actually seen the number of delistings come through, but that delisting trend has been quite stable over the last 10 years. So it hasn't really accelerated. But the problem that we face is there aren't any new listings coming through. So there isn't a offsetting component within that to come through. And I think if you listen to some of the other narratives going around, is that people feel quite comfortable investing abroad because South Africa's market cap weighting within the MSCI World Index have declined. And if you look at the LSE, again, that's something similar has happened. The LSE used to be around 11% of the MSCI World Index. Today, it's around 4%. And I think what we can attribute that to is, again, it's things we've spoken about before, where US markets have been favored. But even in the US, we've seen the number of listings go down from 8,000 to 4,000 across the different indices. And that's been a trend also from the late 1990s. So in 1996, the number of listings in the US was just over 8,000. And today, it's just over 4,000. And it is very concentrated within that mega cap space. So yes, South Africa's case does seem quite severe, even on a relative basis, but there are definitely areas in the market that are seeing numbers that do make your eyes water a bit, for sure.
All right. And that was my final question. Given all that we've been discussing, what does the future hold for the JSE and for local investors?
If you look at some of the reporting that's being done and some of the announcements that's being made through some of the exchanges, is they're all aiming at the same thing. And they've identified the issue. The common issue is the burden that comes with being a listed entity and all that's required of you to raise capital on public markets. And the JSE has launched different initiatives to try and simplify things, to going into plain language documentation, for example, to supporting businesses better to comply with what they need to comply with, etc. And that's very similar to what we've seen globally. Everybody's talking about how do we simplify things without putting clients at risk and oversimplifying and introducing risk in that fashion. So I think from a South African context, yes, it has something to do with the sentiment in the market more broadly. And our expectation is that if interest rates come down, we should see better appetite for listing. But we definitely have to see some improvement on the burdens I've been mentioning. And it seems like the JSE is very aware of it and also communicating with the broader community and investment space around the initiatives that they're trying to introduce to entice investors to come to the JSE and look for opportunities, and to, on the other side of that, to make it easier for businesses to be on the exchange. So I think there isn't any clear evidence that we've seen sufficient changes yet that a reversal will be there. And we do see a lot of uptake in private markets as well, where there's obviously less demands. But I think things are moving in the right direction in terms of making sure things are a little bit easier on everybody involved. So I think the proof is in the pudding. But I think more importantly, the dangerous narrative that is out there at the moment is going back to the one that says the JSE will, in the fullness of time, be ultimately irrelevant or uninvestable just because there won't be a sufficient number of options available. And I'm not so sure that will be the case. I think there's still more than enough opportunity on the JSE also. You don't need thousands of stocks to build a decent portfolio. And at the same time, if we can get some of these other requirements out of the way, make it a little bit easier on everybody, I think that will be supportive for the JSE as well. But I think we'll only know that in the fullness of time.
Well, we're obviously going to watch that one with close interest, and we'll leave it there. That was Adrian Pask, Chief Investment Officer at PSG Wealth.